Shalom and hallelujah. Truth. What is truth? That's a rather famous question. Who knows who that question was directed to?
Yeshua.
Yahshua the Messiah. Someone asked him, what is truth? Who knows who asked that question? Pontius Pilate, yes. Well, we can go to the dictionary now. We don't need no Pontius Pilate. The dictionary says, truth is conformity to knowledge, fact, or logic. The second definition is fidelity to an original or standard. And number three is truth is reality. Well, that was somewhat enlightening, but not thoroughly. If we look at the Encyclopedia of Philosophy, we find that there are three definitions of truth, depending on who you ask. Empiricism, rationalism, or pragmatism. Now, if you ask an empiricist what truth is, it's a general pursuit of knowledge purely through experience, especially by means of observance and sometimes by examination or experimentation. Well, now that's almost enlightening. Rationalism is the idea that we can think carefully enough to identify what is true. It's all up here. Just have to think good enough. Pragmatism is a philosophical movement that includes those who claim that something is true if it works satisfactorily. So, if it works for you, it's true for you. And if I have to compromise some of my principles in order to make something work, well, we can do that. And that might be a good tactic at times, but generally the principles, as Brother Lucas explained, Yahweh's principles must be adhered to if you want success. My education is in physics, so I tend to take the scientific viewpoint. In science, a law of nature describes the way something always works. Laws of science are statements that describe and predict phenomena as they appear in nature. It's a concise description of a natural phenomena. For example, we have Ohm's law of electricity, E equals IR, voltage equals current times resistance. We have the law of gravity, which we all know about, keeps us sitting in our chairs as we listen and standing here on the solid basis as we talk. There are the laws of mechanics, the laws of thermodynamics, which means how energy moves. And there's the law of biogenesis. The laws of nature are uniform. They do not arbitrarily change. And they apply throughout the whole universe. The laws of nature will apply in the future, just as they have in the past and as they do today. This is one of the most basic assumptions of all of science. Without this assumption, science would be impossible. Laws of nature cannot be disobeyed. You can disobey the laws of Yahweh, you can disobey the laws of Congress and your local officials. You don't have to stop at a stop sign if you choose not to. You might have to pay a fine or whatever, but laws of nature will be obeyed. You can't disobey the law of gravity. It's not like the poem said about the cat McCavity. He scorns every human law. He scorns the law of gravity. That's McCavity the cat. And it might seem so, but really, cats fall just like everything else. Scientific method is the systematic study of the natural world through experimentation and observation to discover natural laws. Technically, a scientist is a person who endeavors to discover natural laws. By observation, he sees how things work. And then he develops a theory, or someone develops a theory of why it works that way, or exactly how it works. And then someone does experiments to see, does it really work that way? And with verification of those experiments, we eventually come to a natural law, which we can understand and simply explains how this thing works. And it always works that way. There are lots of natural laws. I've been out of college for many decades, and I don't remember many of them, but I do remember a few. There's one well-known law of life, the law of biogenesis. This law states simply that life always comes from life of the same kind. This is what observational science tells us. Organisms reproduce other organisms after their own kind. Historically, Louis Pasteur disproved one alleged case of spontaneous generation. In other words, you lock something in a closed vessel and later you open it up and there's living stuff in there. And there was nothing living in there when you close it up, or so you thought. But Pasteur proved that can't work. Life only comes from previous life. Since then, we've seen that this law is universal, with no known exceptions. This is, of course, exactly what we would expect from Scripture, according to Genesis 1. Elohim supernaturally created the first diverse kinds of life on earth, and he made them to reproduce after their own kind. Plants give rise to plants of the same kind. Animals have babies that are animals of the same kind, or however they reproduce. You know, little one-celled organisms reproduce, and they just split up, and the two that come from that split are just like the one that split. Okay. We notice that the molecules to man theory of evolution violates the law of biogenesis. This is a natural law that has always been found to work, but if you want to believe evolution, you have to believe that law didn't always work that way. They believe that once, at least once, spontaneously life spontaneously evolved from non-living chemicals. But this is not consistent with the law of biogenesis. Real science confirms the Bible. Yahweh created life. Yahshua implied that there are two beings in all the universe who have this ability to create life, the Father and the Son, Yahweh. Yahshua expressed the law of biogenesis in John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Yahshua agrees with that law. He and the Father made it that way. Life as we know it would not be possible if the laws of chemistry were different. Yahweh created the laws of chemistry in just the right way to make life possible. There's different kinds of truth. There's plain truth, simple truth, whole truth and nothing but the truth, unvarnished truth, and I'm sure there are other versions of the word truth. Truth mixed with anything, with opinion, fiction, or tradition, is not necessarily truth. My truth and your truth is also not necessarily true. The smart and good man is not always right. He doesn't always have the truth. Imagine for a moment the representative of a major congregation of believers, say the Southern Baptist Convention. And this is just my imagination. I don't know that there is such a person, but this person would have the responsibility for dispersing all the funds that are given to this religion to help people. And he got this job because he was a major contributor to this fund. And he was always interested in how his thousands of dollars were dispersed. So they gave him the job of soliciting funds and distributing. He was a good man. Loved to help people. Loved God. And if someone asked him about his wife, he would say, well, my wife and I spent 47 years together, and then she passed away. Now she's in heaven with Jesus. Is that true? No. Not according to Scripture. You can't find that in Scripture. But he was a good man. And he endeavored to be honest, but he never looked into the Scriptures on that topic, never had it properly explained to him. So he believed it, and the pragmatist would say, it works for him, so it's his truth. But is his wife really up there? No, she's not. Yahweh's truth is unchanging. It is pure and simple. And it still covers most cases either specifically or with a method for deciding other cases that are not specifically covered in Scripture. Yahweh has said, you shall establish courts, and the courts shall decide according to Scripture or shall figure out other cases. As we look at Scripture, we see that it has a great history of success. The success of Scripture is so great that it leads me to believe it could only have been given by a superior type of being. In our experience, that truth works. It works well for those who accept it. Have you found that working from Yahweh's scriptural truth? Does it make your life better? It does mine. I have an example within the last 24 hours. Yesterday, late morning, Marilyn Patterson called me, and she was obviously in distress. She said, "I can't walk." She said, "I was walking down the hall in our house, and suddenly something happened to my left leg, and it hurt, and it still hurts. And I'm sitting here in my chair. I made it to the chair, but I don't think I can walk anymore." And, you know, I really want to go to the feast, but I need a miracle if it's going to change from what it is now. And I said, "Well, I know somebody who can do that." So we prayed together. And I asked Yahweh and Yahshua to please heal Marilyn so that she could do as Yahweh commanded and come to the feast. And she said, "I feel a little better already." And we talked for a few more minutes and then ended our conversation. I learned later that she was really healed completely at the end of that prayer. And she was able to get the rest of her preparations done. She was a little behind time because of the bout she had had with this sore knee. So she got here late, but she did get here. She drove, I think it's 70 or 80 miles from her home up to here. And she's in the motel now in Kingdom City, hopefully watching this on the internet. Are we on the internet?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hi, Marilyn. And she's very, very joyfully exultant that Yahweh healed her.
Amen.
We have a powerful and loving Elohim. Who would want to give that up?
Sure.
For those who break the law, want to break the law of biogenesis. Okay. Have you ever seen something happen and you have to say, "Oh, it's really true"? That happened in John 4. We have the case where Yahshua met the woman, the Samaritan woman, and he said, "Well, I can, if you had asked me, I would have given you living water, and you wouldn't have to come to the well anymore." And she said, "Give me that living water." He said, "Go and call your husband and bring him back here." And she said, "I have no husband." And he said, "You've spoken truly that you have no husband, for you have had 7 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." Ooh. She said, "Ooh, this guy is really true. he knows. And she went back to the village and told everybody about this man whom she had described as the Messiah. And they came out to see Yahshua, and he spoke to them. And they said, "Ooh, it's really true."
Sure.
We heard this woman say it, but we've seen it for ourselves now, and we know.
Yeah.
This man does have the words of life. As we look at Scripture, we see it has a great history of success. Every time somebody puts a shovel into the ground in the Middle East, it seems like they turn up more proof of the Bible. The success of Scripture is so great that it leads me to believe it could only have been given by a superior being. In our experience, that truth works out well for those who accept it. I read that before. We believers say that truth is whatever is in agreement with the teachings of Scripture. That's about all we can say definitely is truth. And it's not for lack of trying to find other sources of truth. You know, mankind has been working toward that end, but it doesn't work any better than the evolutionists who want to violate the law of biogenesis, but they've never made it work. When you accept Scripture, do you feel better in your heart and mind?
Sure.
I do. Does your body work better as you follow the scriptural laws of clean foods and cleanness? Mine does. I'm 82 years old and have no pain. My mind works pretty well at times. These days, we need to be aware of truths about health that are not always found in Scripture. It makes sense to avoid pollution from chemical insecticides, herbicides, radiation, tobacco, various forms of food additives, genetically modified organisms, even just too much of good food can be bad for us. I can assure you that your body will work better as you clean up what goes into it. Anyone here who does not believe that? Anybody? Seeing no objection, we'll just keep putting good things into our bodies. We might say truth is the opposite of error or sin. In praying for the disciples, in John 17:17, Yahshua asked the Father to set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. He may have been quoting Psalm 119, verse 160, which says, "The sum of your word is truth, and all your righteous judgments are forever." When Yahweh says it, it's right. From these two scriptures, we learn that it is the scripture that holds the truth. The written word that is inspired by the living mighty one and the creator of the world, Yahshua the Messiah. His inspired word is our source of truth, known as the sacred scriptures. Some scholars say the first mention of a word in scripture is significant. Not a bad principle to look at. Here's one example, the first mention of truth. It's in Genesis 3, verse 1. Genesis 3:1. And the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, "Is it true that Elohim has said, 'Do not eat of every tree of the garden'?" Is that truth? That looks interesting to me. The adversary is using the concept of truth to call Yahweh into question. In verse 4, he calls Yahweh a liar. Can anybody quote verse 4 for me?
"You shall not surely die."
"You shall not surely die." Come on, Eve. Yahweh told you a little lie there. He's faking it. That tells us that we have to be careful how someone handles truth. Just because someone says or implies that something is true does not mean that it is true. We have to be especially careful when the person who has something to gain, if you believe him or her. Yes, people may use an attractive female to get us, especially us men, to believe and act on something that is not really true. Have to be careful of that. There are lots of examples of truth in Scripture. We'll go through some of them. John 4, we were there before. Yahshua said, "The hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father does seek such to worship him." Elohim is spirit, and those who worship him need to worship in spirit and truth. So that's a characteristic of our worship that we can strive after. Worship the Father in spirit and in truth. John 8:31. So Yahshua said to those Yehudim or Jews who believed him, "If you stay in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth." And here's a famous line, "The truth shall make you free." How many would be pleased if they were more truly free?
Sure.
Yes. How about being free from temptation? Sin. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be free from sin? Free from debt. That can happen. Free from poor health problems. Free from my past. Anybody need to be free from stress? Yeah. Based on this, I think today's topic is important. Truth. John 8:40. "But now you seek to kill me." He's talking to those Jews again. "A man who has spoken to you the truth, which I heard from Elohim. Abraham did not do that." John 8:44. "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you wish to do. He was a murderer from the beginning." And he managed to cause Eve and then Adam to lose their life. It took a long time. Yahweh didn't say it would happen instantly, but it did happen. They died. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And we saw that in the first statements that are recorded to have been made by that being. And verse 45, and because I speak the truth, Yahshua said, you do not believe me. Just speaking the truth can make you unbelievable to some people. We've experienced that. Which of you proves me wrong concerning sin? He says, now, all you guys out here say I'm wrong, but can you point to any law of Yahweh that I have broken? Have I gone through that stop sign? You know, have I done this or that that's against Yahweh's law? You can't get witnesses to honestly say that I did. And they found that was so when they attempted to try him. And that trial was going so poorly for the prosecutors that Yahshua said, if I don't get convicted of this, they're not going to kill me today. So he answered the question in such a way that would get him killed. He said, you will see the Son of Man coming. I forget how he said that. In glory with Yahweh the Father. And when he said that word, Yahweh, which they had decided was against Yahweh's law, which is not, of course, they said, what more proof do we need? We've heard him disobey our traditions. He's worthy of death. And they took him to Pilate and had him executed. More lies, by the way. They had to get far from the truth in order to get that job done. Okay. This next is a key scripture in understanding many things. It's in John 14, verse 6. Yahshua said to him, well, they asked him, you know, he was telling them about, I'm going away. And one of the disciples asked him, you know, we don't know where you're going or how you're going to get there. Please explain. And Yahshua said in verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Can we come to the Father without seeking truth in Yahshua? And by the way, if you look at other scriptures that mention the way or the truth or the life, if you plug Yahshua into those scriptures, it often works. John 14, 17, the Spirit of truth, which the world is unable to receive because it does not see it or know it, but you know it, for it stays with you and shall be in you. That's the Ruach HaKodesh. And in John 15, verse 25, 26, and when the Helper comes, the Ruach HaKodesh, which I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of the truth, which comes from the Father, it shall bear witness of me. If the Spirit gives a second witness to your own spirit about Yahshua, then you can probably trust it. But be careful. We deceive ourselves. Best to have a solid scripture for a third witness. John 17:17. set them apart in your truth. Your word is truth. Again, we go back to Psalm 119, this time to verse 142. Your righteousness is righteousness forever, and your Torah is truth. And we find that Torah is truth. It works. So for the pragmatists among us, if you'd like to go with something that works and call that truth, go with Torah. John 16:7. But I tell the truth to you, it is better for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you at all. But if I go, I shall send it to you. And John 16:13 says, and when it comes, the Spirit of truth, it shall guide you into all the truth, for it shall not speak from itself, but whatever it hears, it shall speak, and it shall announce to you what is to come. So the true prophets have their inspiration from the Ruach HaKodesh. And those who are recorded in Scripture, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, all those true prophets prophesy the truth. Psalm 119:151. You are near, O Yahweh, and all your commands are true. And that goes for all the commands of Yahshua. All of them are true. John 1:9, he was the true light. This is talking about Yahshua. He was the true light which enlightens every man coming into the world. And Yahshua illuminated everything with truth. John 5:31-32, if I bear witness of myself, Yahshua said, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that his witness is true. His witness of me is true, referring to the Father. And the Father made it clear that he endorsed Yahshua the Messiah, our Savior. John 8:13, the Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness about yourself. Your witness is not true. You know, just one witness can't do anything with that. Yahshua answered and said to them, even if I do witness concerning myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I go. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, because I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. And in your Torah also it has been written that the witness of two men is true. I am one who witnesses concerning myself, and the Father who sent me witnesses concerning me. And the Father witnesses concerning Yahshua through the miracles Yahshua does and by the words the Father speaks. The Father said, this is my Son. And it was important at that time for him to witness who his Father was, and the Father did witness. I am his Father, he is my Son. John 18:37, then Pilate said to him, you are a king then? Yasha answered, "You say it because I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And here's that famous quotation we started with. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Yehudim and said to them, "I find no guilt in him." What a shame that Pilate, this pagan warrior, understood justice and truth better than the members of the Jewish Sanhedrin. What a terrible shame that the Jewish religion had come to that low point. Here's a good example of Yahshua handling truth. There are some hints in it. What? Well, there is another page. Good. Okay, the example of Yahshua handling truth. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to trap him in with words. And they sent to him their taught ones and the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of Elohim in truth, and it does not concern you about anyone, for you are not partial to any man. Then say to us, what do you think? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Ah, we're going to get him with this question. If he says it's right, then Caesar's going to like us, but all the Jews are going to hate us. And if we said it's not, then the Romans might kill him just for that, for saying you don't have to pay taxes. But knowing their wickedness, Yahshua said, "Why do you try me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin of the tax." Now, the tax had to be paid with Roman denarius, which were silver coins minted by Rome. And you had to pay the tax in that money. And they brought to him a silver piece. A silver denarius is now worth about $1.50, just as silver. You can buy one for about $1,000 from 2,000 years ago. And if anybody's interested in a picture of that, I've got a picture of a few of them here.
What chapter?
We're in Matthew 22. And that was... looks like that was 18, verse 18 or 19. And he said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to Elohim what is Elohim's." And having heard, they marveled and left him and went away. So, if you've got money with the president's picture on it, or some president's picture on it, and pay the taxes in that money. If you've got the yield of your fruit of the land, which he always says you must give 10% to him, then give the tithe of that to Yahweh. And of course you can also give offerings, and we encourage you to do that. But as far as the law, Yahshua says, give to Yahweh what is Yahweh's. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3. "For I proclaim," this is Moses talking, "I proclaim the name of Yahweh, ascribe greatness to our Elohim, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are right ruling. an L of truth or trustworthiness and without unrighteousness. Righteous and straight is he. 1 Corinthians 10:4 illuminates that a little bit. It says, all your fathers drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed, and that rock was the Messiah. So what techniques will help to find truth? I believe that scriptures are full of truth. The thing is, we have to understand them correctly. Many errors have been made in understanding scripture. How can we get the genuine truth from scripture? Here are some hints for finding truth. Number one, humility. Humility is an essential factor in finding truth. And someday maybe I'll have an opportunity to present a message about humility. It's essential for salvation, by the way. That's in Matthew 18:3, maybe 4. What is true does not depend on what someone who seems good and smart says is true. That guy I was talking about before, that I imagined. Or on what I always thought was true. Or on what has always been accepted by people as true. There used to be a saying, 50 million Frenchmen can't be wrong. But the truth is, 50 million Frenchmen probably are wrong. Or truth does not depend on what I think would make me happy. Believe that Yahweh's real truth works for you every time. Seek earnestly to find the kernel of real truth in Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your utmost to present yourself approved to Elohim, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Even though the scripture is true, it can be wrongly handled. Matthew 21:22, and whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So pray for help in understanding what is truth. Keep an open mind about being corrected in what you thought. Pray for discernment. 2 Peter 3:15, and reckon the patience of our master as deliverance, as also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you, according to the wisdom given to him, as also in all his letters, speaking in them concerning these matters, in which some are hard to understand. Sometimes Paul can be difficult to understand correctly, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they also do the other scriptures. 2 Timothy 4:3, for there shall be a time when they shall not bear sound teaching, but according to their desires, they shall heap up for themselves teachings tickling the ear, and they shall indeed turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to myths. I have sometimes seen when people say they have received a revelation of truth that it has not agreed with Scripture in some way. Test any revelation that you may get critically. Look for two or three witnesses in the Old Testament, in Torah, if you can. Whatever we believe or see as truth must be in accord with the basic scriptures of Yahweh: love, humility, and righteousness of Torah, joy, and shalom. Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of Yahweh is clean, standing forever. The right rulings of Yahweh are true. They are righteous altogether. Psalm 85, verse 9. Psalm 85, 9. Truly, his deliverance is near to those who fear him, for esteem to dwell in our land. Kindness and truth shall meet. Righteousness and shalom shall kiss. I wonder how that works. Truth sprouts forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. That's Psalm 85, 9, 10, and 11. Psalm 91, 4. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. Psalm 119, 160, which we read before. The sum of your word is truth, and all your righteousness, your righteous right rulings are forever. Proverbs 3:3, let not kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. How do you write something on the tablet of your heart? You review it often. It'll sink in. Proverbs 27:6. Proverbs 27:6. The wounds of a friend are true, but the kisses of an enemy are profuse. So you may find someone who's trying to sell you something that's not good for you, and he's going to be complimenting you and doing all sorts of things that will endear him to you to sell you something bad. But the friend, the true friend, may have to say, Tom, what you did was not right. And then if you think about it, you may remember, what I did was not right. It was motivated by other things than Yahweh's truth. Proverbs 25:23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom and discipline and understanding. The Good News Bible translates that this way. And it's not perfect, but I like some things about it. Truth, wisdom, learning, and good sense. These are worth paying for, but too valuable to sell. Isaiah 38:19, the living, he is praising you as I do this day. A father makes known your truth to his children. And those of you who are fathers or may become fathers should remember, make known the truth to your children. It's good for them. Okay. Okay, Isaiah 61, verse 8. Yahweh, love. For I, Yahweh, love right ruling. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I shall give their reward in truth and make an everlasting covenant with them. So for those righteous people who don't mess around with the truths of Yahweh, Yahweh loves us and makes a covenant that he will not break. Isaiah 65, 16, so that he who blesses himself in the earth does bless himself in the Elohim of truth, and he who swears to the earth does swear by the Elohim of truth, because the former distress shall be forgotten, and because they shall be hidden from my eyes. Philippians 4, 8. For the rest, brothers, Philippians 4, 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is righteous, whatever is clean, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any uprightness, if there is any praise, the first thing on the list, remember, was true. Think on those things. So what have we learned about truth? From the beginning, Hasatan and many people like to play games with the truth. They twist it and misuse it, misquote it. They dress it up. They dress up something and call it truth when it isn't. They show nice pictures and play nice music to help you believe their lie is true. Hasatan is the father of lies. We tell lies to ourselves if we are not very careful. And that's a key to remember. We can do that up here all by ourselves. And we have a tendency to do that because it makes us feel better if we're not violating the truth. So we just tell ourselves a little lie, and that bad feeling gets buried for a little while. And then it begins to stink, and you can't get away from it. Okay, Yahweh's word is reliable truth. It is impossible that the scriptures was produced and transmitted to us over the thousands of years by humans. It is too perfect and correct to be a human product. Yahweh's love shows through it very clearly. Scripture tells us that Yahshua the Messiah is truth. John 14, 6. Using truth properly will bring us blessings in all we do. We need to stay in Yahshua the truth to bear fruit like a branch in the vine. Yahshua said in John 5, 20, I don't know that Yahshua said that. It says, and we know that the Son of Elohim has come and has given us an understanding so that we might know the truth, the true one. And we are in the true one, in his Son, Yahshua, the Messiah. This is the true Elohim and everlasting life. And I hope this message will bless you, and I know the truth will bless you. So let it be.